Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
It's 8:33 and... it's time for Overtime, round one.
That's Bon Jovi in the background. You know, they go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this weekend.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
Just a little insight for you here in Overtime.
That John Bon Jovi is aging well. I just want to say that.
He's a good-looking man, isn't he?
He's a good-looking man. He is, for sure. And two good-looking men joining at three,
actually.
Hey,
now.
Hancock, Kelly, and Myhill behind the board there. Hey, let's start with the breaking news that I guess officially was made on Friday, but announced today via Twitter. And I guess the president didn't fire him to his face, which is kind of the way he rolls. But President Trump has ousted Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, replacing him with CIA Director Mike Pompeo, orchestrating a major change to his national security team at a time when there are delicate negotiations with North Korea on the horizon. Trump last Friday asked Tillerson to step aside, and the embattled top diplomat cut his trip to Africa short to return to Washington. So, John Hancock, what do you make of this latest White House drama?
Wow. Rex Tillerson becomes the shortest serving Secretary of State in America since 1880.
Wow. A little factoid from Hancock.
That's a long time. Tillerson and the president had their issues and they had their differences. And, you know, it was reported last year that Tillerson called the president a moron. And he never directly denied having done so. And I think that probably started the process of dividing these two gentlemen. And the president kicked him out on Friday, right at a time when things are critical in the world. You look at North Korea and what's going on there. And, of course, all of the issues with Syria. I wish Mike Pompeo the very, very best.
Wow, I'm dumbfounded by this. And look, I think, you know, we should reflect that it was just a couple of months ago that Donald Trump said, I'm not going to fire Rex Tillerson, we'll never do it. That's fake news. And here we learn. And what this is ultimately about, if what John said is true, that Rex Tillerson knew that he was going to get fired this morning, number one, he was probably asked to resign and he told the president, no way, fire me. And two, he took to having an on-the-record interview last night where he said this, I've become extremely concerned about Russia. We spent most of last year investing a lot of attempts into working together. And quite frankly, after a year, it didn't go very far. Instead, what we've seen is a pivot on their part to be more aggressive. He has been a constant voice calling out Russia, asking the president to impose the sanctions. This president has a problem with Russia.
He's not
and
said
it's even
one
more
critical word
evident
once.
Right now.
Well, and you'll remember Tillerson's very first trip overseas was to Russia, right after he became Secretary of State, and he was very harsh in Russia about Russia to the Russians. And I mean, that was his very first trip back in, I don't know, February of 17. And this latest situation with the Russian agent, double agent, being poisoned in London as a citizen of London, Tillerson spoke very strongly about that yesterday, saying clearly this was the Russians coming into a sovereign country, England, and poisoning this guy. The White House did not go that far when Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about it yesterday. So, I mean, there is a backdrop to this thing.
Here's the exact tweet of the president. The media has been speculating that I would fire Rex Tillerson or that he would be leaving soon. Fake news. He's not leaving. And while we disagree on certain subjects, I call the shots. We work together and America is respected again. So what happened, Mr. President? I mean, and also the media seems to know some stuff when it comes to the leaking White House. So when the president calls fake news, we now have even more concern.
Well, speaking of Russia, Do we have time to throw this one in quickly, Chris? Okay. The House Intelligence Committee Republicans say they have found no evidence that President Trump and his affiliates colluded with Russian officials to sway the election or that the Kremlin sought to help him. It's a conclusion at odds with Democrats' takeaways from the congressional panel's year-long probe and the apparent trajectory of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Conclusions reached by the Republicans in their draft report represent a break with the U.S. intelligence community, which determined in January of this year that, or last year, that part of the Kremlin strategy was to help Trump's chances of winning. So, Michael, are you shocked that the House Intelligence Committee Republicans find nothing?
Of course not. This is a partisan thing. This is the House of Representatives. This was never going to be a true analysis, and it won't be a true analysis when it comes from the Democrats. It will be a partisan view of what's gone on. Our best hope to really know the facts of what happened when, as it relates to Russia, will come from Robert Mueller and potentially the Senate committee, which seems to be functioning a little bit better than the House on a less partisan basis.
Well, let's look at what they actually said. They said there's no evidence of collusion. They're right about that. We've been on this thing for over almost 2 years now. There is no evidence of collusion because there was no collusion. The second thing is what the Republicans in the House Intelligence Committee are saying is that the support of Trump over Clinton was not the sole objective of the Russian interference. In fact, the main objective was to create disruption in the United States. That's the point they're making.
If that's the case, John, then why isn't the President of the United States speaking out against Russia? Why aren't we imposing the sanctions that his own party has passed in the United States Congress?
I'd like to see
they're exonerating him as it relates to collusion. But they are also at the same time putting a spotlight on that this president has a problem with Russia. Something doesn't smell right here.
All right, and we'll try and track down the smell when we take a break and come back for traffic and weather. That is round one of Overtime. It's 8:39.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome to round two of Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, and joining me in Studio B, it's Hancock and Kelly, who will hold forth until 11 this morning. Hey, today in Pennsylvania, there is a special election for a district House seat that Trump won by 20%. According to the Washington Post and a Democratic strategist who tracks ad buy information, the Republican candidate was airing ads touting the tax cuts, but cycled them out of messaging because they were apparently barely moving the needle in the district's working class confines. They were replaced with hot topics like immigration, sanctuary cities, and Nancy Pelosi. John, is it possible that the Trump tax cuts aren't as beneficial to the working class as we were led to believe?
Well, it's going to depend on the district. And I think tax cuts are going to be major messaging in the midterms. This race is unique. We're going to talk about it later this morning.
Yeah, well, if he wants to talk about where the tax cuts are going, it's going to where the rich people are, which happens to be in Nancy Pelosi's district. You know, most of us are getting pennies from this tax cut while the billionaires get all the money. And this president, look, if they lose this election tonight for Republicans, they won this by 20 points in 2016. The fact that the president's going there and they're spending $10 million on TV shows you that, whoa, something's not right.
All right, let's stay on the Trump train here. The president makes his first trip to California to look at prototypes of the wall he wants to build on the Mexican border. It's his first trip to California since he became president. Protesters, of course, out in force saying that a border wall is a racist wall. Michael, what do you think the odds are that the president gets his wall built?
He's not going to get his wall built because he promised that it was going to be paid for by Mexico. And yet again, another lie from the president. It won't get built. There's not an appetite from the Republicans to be able to get this done. He's not going to get this wall built, but it'll be a nice photo op for the president. Hopefully they'll get the protesters in the background because there's lots of angry people going to be greeting the president today in California.
The wall will be built. Next topic.
All right, mark the tape. The House will vote today on a newly released Right to Try Act aimed at letting very sick patients request access to treatments that the FDA has not yet approved. President Trump called on Congress to pass the bill during his State of the Union address in January. Many patient advocacy groups argue that the bill would do more harm than good. John Hancock, should experimental drugs and treatments not approved by the FDA be used on humans?
Yes. People, it's a free country. People ought to have the right to try experimental treatments if they've got a terminal diagnosis. I got no problem with this. This was Donald Trump's proposal in the State of the Union address.
I agree with John. I mean, look, if you know somebody who's dealing with terminal cancer, they're willing to try anything and everything, and they should be able to do it. If they know that they've got a death sentence and they'd like to be able to try to find some experimental stuff, why not? They're doing it on their own accord.
Yeah, and maybe it might actually be helpful from a scientific point of view. Like, oh, wow, that worked. Let me just throw this out there.
Throw it away.
Former director of a Webster University Institute, it was actually the Confucius Institute, which is a partnership with the Ministry of Education in China, was sentenced to probation and ordered to fill out a 65-page journal. Here's what she did. Embezzled $375,000. Her attorney wanted a 12-month sentence. Prosecutors wanted 18 months in prison. Michael Kelly, are you surprised that stealing $375,000 nets you zero prison time?
Yeah, that's not right. And they're stealing it from a public institution, our private institution. This is why the criminal laws are stacked against those of us on the bottom end.
She should go to jail. And, you know, as the head of the Confucius Institute, we all know, Confucius once said, "He who wants to bowl 300 has no time to spare."
Good Lord, do we have to have that stuff all the time?
Yeah, just imagine if she'd walked into a store and robbed somebody of, say, 80 bucks.
She'd be in jail. She'd be
in prison. $375,000 probation. All right, let's see. Where should we go? Let's stay on local issues, or at least more local. Allegations that Governor Greitens slapped his hairdresser lover in anger when he found out she had slept with her husband are now part of the investigation underway by a Missouri House committee. That is according to the only person who's been on the inside of those closed door meetings and come out talking, which would be the ex-husband's attorney, Albert Watkins. John, what do you make of these latest allegations?
It's hearsay. You know, you've got the husband testifying to it, Al Blabbermouth Watkins out there. It's hearsay, and, you know, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait for the facts, but here's the thing. A lot of us had heard all of this 6 months ago when we heard about the Eric Greiton stuff. We didn't see an indictment on this from Kim Gardner, so that makes me bring some pause as to why.
Also interesting that this is getting attention from national groups because they are doing this behind closed doors, locking out the media with armed guards and putting plastic bags over windows so no one can look in.
It's wrong.
It's Sunshine Week, so it's supposed to be a transparent government. All right, it's 8:48, and that is round two, so we'll be back with round three of overtime after this.
Maybe you'd like to hear the facts.
Well, that is not what happened.
Fact or fiction? Now on overtime.
All right, it is 8:52. I'm Debbie Monterey, John Hancock, Michael Kelly.
Yes.
Overtime, and time for Fact or Fiction. Or we could just listen to The Fix, which I also would like. All right, let's just move ahead with this topic. National Geographic magazine is owning up to its own racially questionable past. The magazine says for decades its coverage was racist, presenting barely clothed and often bare-breasted natives as exotics and noble savages. Meanwhile, the magazine's editor-in-chief says the magazine all but ignored people of color living in the United States until the 1970s. National Geographic has been publishing since 1888. John Hancock, fact or fiction? National Geographic's coverage was racist.
Fact! They were, reflecting the social mores of the time, but it was still racist.
Michael.
I'm going to say fact as well, but having said that, as a young boy growing up without the internet, I loved National Geographic.
I bet. You share that with many young men, I'm sure. I just went through them, and I pulled out the ads of the Mustangs, and I would hang those in my room.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And the maps, of course. Arnold Schwarzenegger has announced that he plans to sue oil companies, claiming they are knowingly killing people all over the world.
Oh,
Schwarzenegger compares, what, they don't?
No.
Schwarzenegger compares what the oil companies are doing to what the tobacco industry did. He says the tobacco industry knew for years and years and years and decades that smoking would kill people, would harm people and create cancer, and were hiding that fact from the people and denied it. The oil companies knew from 1959 on. They did their own study that there would be global warming happening because of fossil fuels, and on top of it, that it would be risky for people's lives, that it would kill. Schwarzenegger's in talks with private law firms about his case. Fact or fiction? Michael Kelly, is it fair to compare oil companies to the tobacco industry?
Fiction. I mean, look, there's not a human being on the planet who isn't benefiting from some fossil fuel being burned to create electricity or transport food to them. Until we have a better alternative, it is what it is. I mean, we all are dependent on the oil companies to provide for our daily lives.
It is fiction. And in fact, when it comes to the court, Arnold will not be back.
Oh, boy. Is it going to be like this every day?
I think so. $10 billion is estimated to be wagered on this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament. That was $10 billion. Forget about all the lost productivity from people checking their rackets at work. Estimates released by the American Gaming Association say that only 3% will be wagered legally through Nevada's sports books. As of today, Nevada is the only state to allow single game wagering. Fact or fiction, John Hancock, sports betting should be legal.
Fiction. Gambling is an allure to people that they're going to get rich without any effort. It's not helpful for the economy or for human dignity.
Fiction, not for those reasons. We have gambling that you can participate in Nevada. Go do it there. If we had it nationwide, I imagine that what would happen in the individual games could be really problematic.
So tax on poor people.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.